Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As we are in October, the month in which we celebrate the Reformation, our thoughts might often turn to Martin Luther. Now this morning, while you were hearing the Old Testament lesson, or perhaps even during the children's message, you thought about Martin Luther and some of the things that he wrote or said. Solomon once wrote in our text for this morning that God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them, and everyone who can accept his lot and rejoice in his toil has received a gift of God. Now Luther was most certainly able to fit into this category. At some point in his life, Luther either said or wrote, I didn't take the time to look up whether he said or he wrote it, because if he said it, he probably also wrote it, so I figured he'd count one way or the other. But at some point in his life, he either said or wrote that if he knew that he was going to die the next day, and he was planning to plant a tree, the next morning when he woke up, he would still plant that tree. This was the joy that Luther had found. Now, to secular society, this may sound like madness. They may wonder, why didn't he go searching for a cure for that illness that would kill him? Or, why didn't he try to eat, drink, and be merry the last hours of his life? Now, even to those in the church, Luther's joy might confuse some of you, or might make you curious or wonder about what he had said. Why wouldn't Luther have gathered his family around him? Why wouldn't he have tried to do more for his neighbors? Yet Luther said or wrote what he did out of that great joy that he had found, a joy which must have been similar to the joy about which Solomon wrote in our Old Testament lesson and which I shared with our children a few minutes ago. Turn with me then to our passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and we'll see what we can learn about this joy of Solomon and Luther. Solomon begins by writing, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase to eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. For those of the world, bigger and better is always the way. Businessmen work and strive to become managers. Movies that are made always have to be big and loud and exciting, and if they remake a movie, it has to be even better than the last. Same thing is true with songs. They always want to remix and make it better than the last time it was written. Athletes also strive to, if they're good at their field, they want to become the best at their field. And if they're the best at their field, perhaps they work and strive to become Olympic athletes. Olympic-level athletes, that was the word there, Olympic-level. Now, to be fair, none of these is necessarily evil of themselves. After all, God has given us everything that we have, including our very bodies, and so we might test and see just how far our bodies can go, see what is possible with our bodies. Yet, if we strive to do more than what we're able to do, or if we are not content when our limit is reached, we can very easily fall into temptation. That's where the line is drawn. For those of the world, if a person finds out that just working in a business is all that they're able to do and they were hoping to become manager, they might very easily be tempted to try an underhanded or illegal way to make themselves manager. Movies are made, although they often throw in unnecessary scenes of violence or sex or language, just to get the higher rating, because that is what society deems as bigger and better. Or if they remake a film, they might throw in a bunch of extra stuff that is not needed to try to make it better than the last. So also with athletes in the Olympics. If they find that there's someone else better than them, they might be tempted to do something illegal about it. Ultimately, the reaching the level of bigger and better is not possible. just in general, and also in this life. Bigger and better are comparative adjectives. In other words, they compare one thing to another. And they say that this one is bigger than that one, or this one is better than that one. But as you can see, that means that they will continuously work toward getting bigger or to continuously working to get better until they reach the superlative. That is the ultimate. In other words, the bigger needs to work until it becomes the biggest, and the better needs to work until it becomes the best. If a person is able to reach that, then, according to society's standards, can one rest, and not before. Unfortunately, this is not possible. Technology is always improving, and boundaries are always being pushed. So rest is never found according to secular society's standards. For us Christians, however, we can find rest. We have sleep that is sweet because we know that in our Lord Jesus Christ, our work is acceptable to God. Whether it's the biggest or best or not, it is acceptable to God. And that gives us joy, just the same joy that I was sharing with our children a few minutes ago. Now, Solomon continues writing that there's a grievous evil that he has seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owners to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is the father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness and much vexation and sickness and anger. For those of the world, there is, as Solomon wrote in other places of Ecclesiastes, nothing new under the sun. Riches continue to be kept to the hurt of their owners. Not always, as Jesus pointed out in our New Testament text, all things are possible with God. However, they do create large temptations. Riches are also still being lost in ventures. From mistakes in the stock market to gambling in casinos at Las Vegas, riches can still be lost in ventures. Fathers are still leaving their children with nothing in their hands, if indeed the father remains long enough for the children to even get to know them. There is much vexation and sickness and anger, and these are all grievous evils. For us Christians, however, we are less concerned about the events going on underneath the sun, S-U-N, and more concerned about the affairs going on under the sun, capital S-O-N. Riches are nothing but tools to be used to the glory of our Heavenly Father and for the need of our neighbor, for all of those around us, our brothers and sisters in this world. Fathers are called such because they have children in the marriage setting, and then they stick around. They are the head of their household, and they provide for those who are with them. And even they might provide for those who are with them once they have passed. For Christians, there is no vexation over money, no sickness from worry or anxiety, no staying up late because of anxiety, no anger over pride, position, or income, only contentment. And with that contentment, joy. It is the joy of Solomon, of Luther, and of all Christians, which can only be found in Christ Jesus. Hear what God has to say about it through his servant Solomon at the end of our text. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him. For this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. Now, throughout our time considering our text this morning, we have kind of gone back and forth comparing secular society with Christianity. They each have different starting points. The world's starting point is wanting to become the biggest or the best and striving until that is reached, which again is impossible in this life. The starting point of the Christian is very different. For the Christian, he or she already has as much as he or she could possibly ever want or need. in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Even though he or she didn't start out this way. No, every Christian was born as a member of this world, striving after the same things that the rest of society strives after. But God came to them in his word, in the water of baptism. And he called them out of this world to be his children, to be Christians. Yet even Christians from time to time may still fall into those temptations. To that also, God has a response. To that answer, he, as our good shepherd, sent his son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Jesus came into this world as a human being, and he lived a life of perfection. Something that is no longer possible for us. And yet Jesus did it for us. He lived a life without vexation or anger or sickness. Sickness from anxiety, anyway. He may have had other sicknesses, but he didn't have sickness from anxiety. And then he died on the cross of Calvary. He bore the cross for all Christians, for all who would believe in him, for all of the world, if they would only believe in him. All earthly matters, all sinful matters, could be forgiven in Christ Jesus' death, and they have been forgiven in Christ Jesus' death. Now, this word of forgiveness is not just for the world or for those Christians somewhere else, but for you, right here and right now. You are forgiven for Jesus' sake. And because you are forgiven for Jesus' sake, you may have joy knowing that you bear your sins no more. You can go and do your work with contentment, knowing that your work is pleasing to God for Jesus' sake. May God allow you to leave at that same joy and contentment as Solomon and Luther, and always through his Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.